Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Good Friday. Thank you to Dave, Mike, Diane, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is 1 John 1:1-7. Visit beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca/contact to write to us or to subscribe to the bulletin. We'd love to hear from you.
Welcome. We ask you to come in and take a seat. We are thankful that you are here and blessed by your presence. We have a number of announcements. Oh, bear with me. I had heard that young Jonathan won a caring award in his class. Where is Jonathan? Back there. Jonathan. He's not listening. Did you win an award? Good for you. You are a caring award winner. Always good to hear the students and their successes. And that goes for all of you students, high school too. We have birthdays. Now, last week, we had a couple of birthdays that were kind of mentioned at the end, and I'm going to review those too. Jenny had a birthday last week that was a significant birthday, and she is here today. John was not here, but his birthday, he was 90 last week, and I want to remember him. And coming this week, Ann turning, says 90. Mike is not 90, but he's going to have a birthday, and Tess has a birthday. There are no anniversaries. Ann, just to give you a little history, was a longtime member of this congregation, presently living in Nova Scotia. She would appreciate Facebook messages or calls to her son, George. Phone number up there. There's a youth rally coming up at Great Lakes. And if you are able to provide homestays Friday and Saturday evening, there's a number, email address, and a phone number up there to contact Dawn. There are a number of prayer requests. We have people that are healing, people that are mourning, people that are ailing. And we want to remember all of those groups of people in our prayers. Those who are mourning the Cramp family, the Hotchkiss family, the Hott family, and the Perry family. And there is a card here that I will put on the bulletin board from the Perry family thanking us for all of our prayers and for the calls that people have made. Let's go to God in prayer this time. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are a blessed people. We bring before you those people who are contending with physical ailments, for those who are mourning for loved ones lost. And we just take a moment, each of us, to silently collect our prayer thoughts and individually express them to you. Bless our gathering of praise to you. We recognize your grace and mercy, as we are continually amazed. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus the Christ, and for your Spirit that lives in each of us. touch our hearts with your love. Let us serve others in need. Help us do this and empower us to recognize the needs of others. Father, we're bombarded, it seems, with news of violence and fears and wars, famine, disease, all kinds of trouble. We pray for your peace to be in us. In Christ's name, amen. I'm asked to read a reading, James 5, verses 5 to 13. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not oppressing you. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone among you happy? Let them sing songs of praise.
To be honest, I probably shouldn't be up here presiding over a sacred meal. It's a very sacred meal, and I probably should be the last one I say, because the last couple of years have been hard on me, and there have been times where I've been filled with doubt, a lot of anger, lamentation, a lot of prayers that I felt like they weren't answered, a lot of questioning, and yet here I am, presiding over the table. And yet, whether you choose to believe, whether you're a believer or not, and you're around, you're still invited to the table. Students, you're invited to the table, whether you choose to believe or not, because Jesus died for you and your sins just as much as he did for mine. And the message is that I've been a member, I've been a Christian, follower of Christ for 46 years. I've seen my peaks. I've seen being through my valleys, my struggles. And this is the darkest period of my life. But yet, bottom line is, Jesus died for me. And he still has a plan for me. I'm still trying to figure out what that plan is. In our lives, we're going to face these periods. And I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, especially to those that have been around a lot longer than I in the kingdom, serving faithfully. And then So I thought, well, what can I say around a table that in 4 days from now, Good Friday, hours before he went to die, Jesus presided at the table to his 12 disciples and shared a Passover meal and instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. But yet, who was at the table? Well, 12 disciples that had their doubts, had been in it thick and thin through their lives, and now these last 3 years with Jesus. And they've been on their peaks with Jesus, and now they were in a valley. And Jesus had been telling them beforehand, at least three times that we have recorded in the scriptures, that he's going to be betrayed to the chief priests and the elders and, you know, the law. And he's going to be crucified. And this isn't God's plan, but he's going to overcome. He's going to rise again after 3 days. And guess what? He rose again according to the scriptures. Who was at that table? Well, we have obviously Judas. And what did Judas do? Judas was the one that actually betrayed Jesus for 30 silver pieces, coins. And then we had Peter, who Jesus called his rock. They would build his church, yet Peter denied Jesus three times during the trial before the rooster crowed. And then he came back and was one of the pillar of the church when he sought Jesus' forgiveness and Jesus restored him. What about the other ones? Thomas and, you know, we got Andrew. They're all filled with doubts, and some of them were confused, and some of them might have been angry and full of despair, kind of what I'm going through now. But Jesus had them at the table. And no matter what you as a student may be facing or going through, or whether you believe or not, or whether you may be in the throes of your Christian life and things are getting tough, Jesus wants you at the table, and he wants to share this meal with you. Because he died for you, he wants you to remember that the bread, which represents his broken body, and the blood, which takes away our sin, was for us. And for not only for us, but for the entire sins of the people of the world, once and for all. So you may not think you're important, or you may not think Jesus cares, but he died for you. And that's what this communion is all about. And bottom line is, that's the understanding that I have to come to, and I'm dealing with, that no matter what my journey is and where my faith is dragging me to, God's going to be there right with me. Jesus is going to be right there with me. So think about the communion, especially now, because we're going into the Passion Week, as we call it, and we're thinking about all the activities that Jesus went through, and he went through for us, but he instituted this feast to help us remember that the cross, which I'm sure wasn't a lot of fun for him too. I'm sure he knew he had to go, but as a human being, he wasn't like enjoying that fact very much, but he still went because he loved you and me. You know, so let's think about these things, and let's make this week of Easter a week that's important to us because it was important to him. And so let us go to God in prayer and remember these things, that no matter what our troubles may be, God's going to be there, and through the worst of times and the best of times. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings that you do give us, although many times we fail to see them or understand them. As I'm going through this period myself, help us to realize that this feast is important to us, not only just because it's Sunday, but reminds us each and every day of our lives that you loved us so much that you went to the cross and died for us and took away our sins so that we didn't have to die for our own sins. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for this, and help us to be grateful, eternally grateful, in serving you in our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, the reading this morning is from 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I want to share with you the most important sermon that has ever been preached. And please understand that it has absolutely nothing to do with my preaching, but it has everything to do with what the Apostle John said and what the Apostle Paul said and what the Hebrew writer wrote, and what Peter said, and most importantly, what Jesus said and did for all of us. This coming Friday is the greatest day of all days. The worst day of all days was Jesus dying on the cross. The greatest day of all days was Jesus dying on the cross. His shed blood forgives us from our sins. Our sins are not forgiven because Jesus was born. We celebrate his birth at Christmas, and it's wonderful. Our sins are not forgiven because of his resurrection. We celebrate that at Easter, very soon, the resurrection. But because of Jesus shed blood on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Most people avoid Good Friday because in the past, it was a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. And that is not what Good Friday is about. It isn't about how Jesus died, but what happened because he shed his blood. Jesus shed his blood for our forgiveness. Years ago, and it wasn't that many years ago, typically the churches of Christ in our area would gather over in Toronto for what was called a Good Friday time of worship. But in all the years of going to the Good Friday, the most significant event that's ever happened, nothing was ever said about it. It was completely ignored. So we had people coming from all over Ontario, Upper Michigan, and so forth, all gathering in Toronto for a Good Friday service, the greatest day. And never was a word ever spoken about Good Friday, about the greatest day that ever happened. It was a sermon about this or a sermon about that. And I think we missed it. We missed it. Christmas is wonderful, the birth of Jesus. But our sins aren't forgiven because of his birth. Our sins are forgiven because of his crucifixion. He shed his blood for our forgiveness. So that's why we have some of these amazing scriptures. Listen to these scriptures that many of you know so well. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and his only Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How? Through the blood that Jesus shed for us. His precious blood. Let's notice today just a variety of scriptures. Christ's blood for our forgiveness. It's emphasized everywhere. I know that many of you know these scriptures, but when you put them all together as one, I think it's just overwhelmingly brilliant. Sad to the nth degree that Jesus had to do this for us, but he did it. And he'd be happy to do it for us if it hadn't happened already. His shed blood. Matthew 26, when the disciples were gathering together, then Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to his disciples, saying, drink from it all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for what? The forgiveness of sins. Or in Mark chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, meaning all of those who will accept it. And then in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is saying goodbye to the elders of this amazing church at Ephesus. Paul knows he's going to have a challenging time. And so Paul reminds them with these words, keep watch over yourselves and all of the congregation of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his, help me, own blood. Or Romans 3:25. So Paul says, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement, which means forgiveness, through faith. How? In his blood. I mean, if we learn through repetition, we've got to get this. We've just got to get this. This blood of Jesus brings us together as one in Christ. Jesus gave himself for us, shed his blood for us. So when you take communion, when we take communion, that little sip is more than just grape juice. It's the understanding of who Christ is, what he's done for us, what he does for each one of us. And so Paul says that God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of forgiveness through his blood. And as if we're kind of slow learners, Paul repeats it and repeats it and repeats it. Romans 5, he emphasizes peace and joy for all in Christ because of Christ's sacrifice for us by saying this, since we have now been set free, since we've now been justified, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath because of Christ's shed blood? Or in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 25, and Often at communion, we read these words. Paul is doing his best to help the church in Corinth, a church that was dealing with significant struggles with just about absolutely everything. And Paul reminds them of this. This cup is the new covenant of the blood of Christ. And so, as if Paul doesn't say it enough, he says it again. In Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, in Christ we have forgiveness. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So if you just did a real quick reading of the New Testament, what's going to stand out in your mind more than anything else? That Christ loves us, that he's given himself for us, that he lives in us, and that when we come together, we remember one another by holding each other up, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our forgiveness. How? By his blood. By now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Or when Paul writes to the church at Colossae, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, listen to this now, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace. How? Through his shed blood on the cross. And then we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Somewhat of a historian, going back and helping us to remember all of those people who gave themselves up, sacrificing themselves. But he says this, when Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are already here, and we have a lot of good things already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of blood of goats or blood of calves, but he himself entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls, the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve this living God? I reflected this past week, looking on all the years of being in different churches, that many of you have been to various churches and so forth, the many sermon talks about communion, the many readings that we read about communion, but the focus is forgiveness of sins and what it cost for the forgiveness of sins. And so when Peter writes, he says this, for you know, that's important, for you know that it's not worth perishable things such as silver or gold that you were forgiven from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the, help me, precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without defect, the perfect sacrifice. And as we read today, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We have fellowship with one another. Have you ever stopped to think that this Jesus, who lived, who taught, who died, who was raised, and who lives in us today, that when we gather today, we remember Jesus, his shed blood for our forgiveness, the relationship that we have with him, that we can say, thank you for the greatest gift that has ever been given. So if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other, fellowship with one another, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all because of the atoning sacrifice, which is said in 1 John 2:2, that Jesus is the blood sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But listen, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, this great victory celebration song toward the end of the book, Revelation talks about this. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Listen now. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Because of his shed blood, Jesus sees us as priests. The one who could hold the understanding of sharing the message of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, his shed blood for our forgiveness. If there was ever a message, that's a message. And then in heaven, there's this picture. And I hope that you can see it with me. In heaven, the people gathered and they sang a new song. Here are the words. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because, Jesus, you were slain and with your blood you purchased men and women for God from every tribe and every language and every people and any nation. Talk about a gift of gifts. And then in Revelation, one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from? And I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who came out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Yes. So in Revelation, it concludes with the battle of between Jesus and Satan. It's no contest. There's no contest. It's over. The shed blood of Jesus forgives our sins, even when the accuser wants to throw doubts in our minds. No. No. He did it for us. Listen. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much, even as to shrink from death. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, it wasn't easy being a Christian in the first century. Such persecution. It was rampant. The Hebrew writer encourages us, even today, to be strong in Christ Jesus, just as our forefathers were strong, especially in times of trouble and persecution. I thought hard and long whether I should include this, but it is in the scripture, and I think it's important to hear, as difficult as it is to hear. And it says this, "And what more shall I say?" I don't have time to talk about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah or David or Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, but others not. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers, some flogging. Still others were chained and put in prison. Some were stoned to death. Some were sawed in two. They were put to the death by the sword. They went about in the wilderness in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves, and they lived in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Please hear this. Because God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And even though we aren't there just yet, many of our loved ones are. And so God reminds us. He helps us to see a picture of where we are, even if we aren't there yet. Here's what he says. "But you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, the spirits of righteous people, made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word even than the blood of Abel. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, since we are receiving a kingdom, it can't be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. May Good Friday live in you each and every day of your life. Amen.
Once again, we thank you for the privilege of your company and joining with us to praise God. I have a brief reading that we will close with, taken from Thessalonians, first chapter. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be with you.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.